Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to our Bible study in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here, every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time. Some just got married. Some have kids and some don't have kids. We know four families that have kids. We dedicated them, and we know there are many others and many more on the way. Many more on the way. Many here today and many watching us today are believers in Jesus, but not all. But we are all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and to make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. How do you handle persecution? Satan has always tried to stop God's advance. What do you do when you are confronted by this culture and challenged to change what you know to be taught directly from the Word of God? Satan has always tried to stop God's people. Ephesians says that it's not flesh and blood that is our real enemy, but principalities and powers, rulers in heavenly places. It's satanic. But there are times when we are confronted. So what do you do? I think about David. He talked about his enemies in the Psalms coming against him in his quest to fulfill God's will and become the king of Israel. I think about the prophets who were confronted when they were speaking the word of God, and they were confronted directly about what they were sharing. You think about those prophets. I think about Herod tried to kill the baby Jesus and have him snuffed out. They tried to keep Jesus, tried to kill Jesus, and they thought they succeeded when they crucified him. In our passage today, we learn from the early church and the early Christians how to handle persecution. And church family, more and more, the longer that I live, the more and more I realize that even though we have been sort of insulated in the American church, persecution may be coming. So we need to know what are the principles and how are we to handle persecution. I want you to look in your Bible at Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to read beginning in verse 13. You follow along in your copy of God's Word, and we will end at verse 23. This is Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Verse 17, "But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and they commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. Verse 22, for the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Now, I want to think about six things, and we're going to work through these quickly. But three of them are from last week's passages, so I'm just going to touch on them quickly. How do you handle persecution? Here's the first thing, be filled with the Spirit. Look back in verse 8. It says, when they were confronted by what power or by what name have you done this, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. So the first thing I would say in handling persecution is you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That is to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess your sins before Him, trust in Him, and then have a daily walk with Him in such a way that you are the child of God that the Lord is calling you to be. And so be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Here's number two. Have an attitude of goodwill. Now this is interesting. In verse 8, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. This phrase captured me in my study, and I know I preached through this passage last week, but the scholars say that that phrase was procuring goodwill. In other words, they were not arrogant in the way that they spoke to those leaders. They had respect for them. So I think that if we face persecution, if you face persecution on the job, you face persecution maybe, who knows how it may come, the first thing is you need to have an attitude at least of goodwill. It was an attitude. You have a winsome attitude about you. Remember the scripture says that Jesus grew in stature and in favor with both God and man. Do you remember when Paul was before Agrippa and he was witnessing to Agrippa, this man who did not know or love Jesus Christ, and yet he was listening to the Apostle Paul, and Paul had such a winsome way about him in Acts chapter 26, verse 28, that here's what Agrippa said. He said, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Why was that the case? Well, because Paul was presenting the gospel powerfully. He was not backing up from what he was preaching or teaching. And yet he did it in a way with an attitude of goodwill. And so that's the second thing. Here's the third thing from last week. Boldly preach the gospel. We find that in verses 9 through 12. They were passionate. That phrase, let it be known to you all, was a way to conjure passion and to say to them, I'm about to tell you something that is emphatic. And they preached the resurrection of Christ in verse 10. He preaches in verse number 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So he preached boldly the gospel, all right? He never backed up from the gospel, and we are to never back up from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he preached the exclusivity of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And church family, this is where, in many ways, this is where the persecution is going to come. When you start announcing that truth is from the scripture and Jesus is the only way. And so they didn't back up for that. So the basic principles are this. First of all, be filled with the Spirit. Second, have an attitude of goodwill. Thirdly, boldly preach the gospel. And then in today's passage, here's the fourth thing. Understand the power of the gospel. You know, God uses ordinary people. It says there in verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. All right, they saw the boldness. The word boldness there is the characteristics of free citizens to speak out, the characteristic of a person to freely, with confidence, speak out. They were bold in the way that they shared, and yet the leaders realized that they were uneducated. That is a phrase that means unschooled, all right? They were without credentials, and then it says they were untrained. That means that has the idea that they were kind of a private person or what we would call an amateur. They were not professionals. So they were uneducated and they were untrained men, But they marveled. They were in amazement, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. They took on the information and realized that they had been with Jesus. Listen, the Lord uses ordinary people who are with Jesus. The Lord uses ordinary people who spend time with Jesus. Are you spending time with Jesus? Because God will use you when you are found to be spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when they recognized that, it wasn't that they said, I saw him around Jesus. No, they realized that because they had been with Jesus, this explained the authority and the ability that they had. In other words, because they had been with Jesus, he had empowered them to see this healing take place and empowered them to preach, all right? Now, we realize when we understand the power of the gospel that they could say nothing. Look at verse 14. It says, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, the man was standing there, and it says that they could say nothing. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 10, the same phrase is used, related, the same concept is used, related to Stephen, who was preaching, remember? And they were going to stone him. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 6, verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Surely they thought of this, and this was what Jesus had talked to them about in Luke 21:15. He says, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. So Jesus had predicted that he would put words in their mouth and give them the ability to stand, because the gospel the power of the gospel is powerful. The power of the gospel is unstoppable. And so we find that in the passage. Look at verse 16. It says, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done through them, and it's evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. So what did they do? They decided in verse 17, but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in his name. Now they had already, in verse 15, commanded Peter and John to go out, okay? They had made them leave the room. So how do we know what was said in here? Well, different ones have speculated about how we knew it. How we know the details of what their conversation was inside. Some say that there were sympathizers in there. You remember Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin. Maybe they got the information from Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea, or even Paul the apostle before he became Paul could have been in there, and the threats were given, and they might have shared it. But in verse 17 it says, so that it spreads no further, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. The word severely threaten is not a soft term. It's to give conditions that if not met will result in consequences. Although they couldn't do anything because they said that the people would rise up. They were popular with the people, and they knew that this lame man was walking. And so they were really their hands were tied, but they could threaten them, and that's exactly what they did. And so they threatened them in this passage of Scripture in verse 17. They said, we command you, in verse 18, and we command them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. So one of the things you've got to realize when confronted how to handle persecution, not only be filled with the Spirit, have an attitude of goodwill, boldly preach the gospel, understand the power of the gospel. God will use the gospel to impact. And there will be those that will have no answer because the power of the gospel is so evident. But here's the fifth thing. Given that challenge, what are you to do? Number five, take your stand. Number five, take your stand. We see that in verse 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. All right? They lived by principle rather than expediency. In other words, take your stand. When you are confronted and you are told you cannot do this, and it's something that the Word of God teaches that you must do to be an obedient believer of Jesus Christ, you have an attitude of goodwill, you boldly preach the gospel, you don't back up from that, you understand the power of the gospel, when all is said and done, ladies and gentlemen, you take your stand. And that's what they did. They took their stand. They are called by God to give such a testimony, and they must obey God rather than man. You know, a testimony is powerful. You have a testimony. People can try to argue with you about the Lord Jesus Christ, the difference that he makes, but I'm telling you, if Jesus has impacted you, you have a testimony. And you can't dispute. They cannot dispute what Jesus Christ has done in your life. And so you take your stand. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children who took their stand and God delivered them. And they said, you know, whether or not we burn up in the fire or not, it doesn't matter. We are not going to bow to the heathen king. And they made up their mind. They took their stand. Daniel was the same way. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And when he was challenged to do that, he did not cave in. But he lived by principle rather than expediency. My pastor used to tell me when I was a teenager, he said, any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a fish with a backbone to swim against the current. It takes a fish with a backbone to swim against the current. And by the way, God has always had a people. You think, you know, I'm being challenged, whatever it may be, whatever may come. How do you handle persecution? Just realize that in all places, God has a people. I think about it in athletics and politics and education. In every place, in every walk of life, the Lord has a people. Here's the sixth thing. Not only are we be filled with the Holy Spirit, have an attitude of goodwill, number two, boldly preach the gospel. Number four, understand the power of the gospel. There's nothing that can hinder it. Number five, take your stand. We won't get to all of them, but we will finish with this last one right here. Number six, draw strength from other believers. Draw strength from other believers. Look at this. In verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own companions. That's an amazing little phrase right there. Their own companions, and they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Their own companions. This expression is not accidental, as it presses the point of how the early church saw itself as a community of mutually supported friends. Church family, you know what we are? We're a community of believers in Jesus Christ, mutually supporting one another. Can I tell you this? We need each other. Amen, church? Can I tell you this? I needed that this morning. I needed that music, Robert. I was encouraged over there as we were singing those different hymns and people were calling out those songs for us to sing. What encouragement. Hey, if you missed this morning, whoever misses this morning, they missed a special, special opportunity of us being together as the body of Christ. And one thing that you realize in persecution is you need your community of faith. So you are to draw strength from other believers. You know, POWs in prison do everything in their power to preserve their community. Communication, fellowship. That's why the worst form of punishment is isolation, solitary confinement. There's a lot of people in this world going through the motion, but they are all alone. And they need others. They need, because we are relational. We need one another. I don't know how you would respond to direct persecution. I heard the story of a guy who was sentenced to be burned at the stake back in the way back hundreds of years ago. He was uncertain if he would be able to endure the suffering. And one night, he experimented with pain by putting his little finger into the candle flame. It hurt, and he immediately withdrew it. He said, "I will disgrace my Lord," he said to himself. "I cannot bear the pain." But as the story goes, when the hour came for him to die, he praised God and gave a noble witness for Jesus Christ. God gave him the power when he needed it and not before. I don't know how I would do in that situation. But I know one thing. These apostles have showed me some things that I need to do. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit when confronted with persecution. I need to have an attitude of goodwill and not arrogance. But I need to boldly preach the gospel of Jesus. I need to understand the power of the gospel, that it's unstoppable. And then when confronted directly, take your stand. And then draw strength from one another. We need each other. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer today.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.